that God brings in the manner that he interacts with humanity, with you and I. Chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Oh my. He's speaking of things that are perhaps a little bit foreign to us in our time, but something that was very familiar with where they were and what they could experience in the blessings of God. And that's what I want to share with you as we go on to verse 20. By a new and living way. There's the change. A new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. There's that old again. That is to say, his flesh. But the fulfillment of what was there for thousands of years and bringing in a new and living way. Say that with me. A new and living way. Praise God. You may be seated. We'll go through changes here. Praise God. Now, the Lord was teaching his disciples and helping them to understand. And it's interesting, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how they all have the story of the Lord from beginning to end. Some of them with a different perspective. Some of them with other emphases that we see in the Word of the Lord. And some of them that the majority of the book is just in a few days. We know the Lord's ministry spanned over 3 years. And in that three-year period, we don't know how many were healed, how many were delivered, how many experienced supernatural works in their lives that they had never seen before. And astonishment filled their hearts and minds, and how that they recognized something different is happening here. Amen. And what they were on the edge of or on the threshold of was this new and living way that the Lord wanted to bring into their experience. Anchored in all of the traditions, all of the practices of worship that involved sacrifice and going to the temple and all of the aspects of the Old Testament law, they were immersed in that, faithful to it, but now the Lord wanted to show them a new and living way. So he's talking about the way you know, and I'm going away, and in chapter 14 of John, where the scripture that we like to focus on in verse 6, that the Lord declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God. That was prefaced by a discussion about the way. How can we know the way? The disciples said. And the Lord made it very plain. I am the way. Praise God. Now, that would seem to be a strange comment, because when we talk about a way to Homer, we're going to Homer. And we're just want to walk on the beach, or we want to go to one of the sandwich shops, or whatever our purpose is, we just want to go. We know there's a way. We know there's a highway. We know there's alternate ways that we can make it to that highway. But eventually, we're going to be on the way. And so for Jesus to say, I am the way, was to introduce a whole different concept, a whole different idea. How can you be the way? When we go to Jerusalem, when we go to Bethany, when we go to Emmaus, when we walk on the shores of Galilee, whatever the disciples were thinking in their minds, we have a way. But the Lord was letting them know there is something new and living. There is something powerful and wonderful that is coming to you. Praise God. And thank the Lord he has provided that. Now, the verse that we read, the couple of verses that we talked about here in Hebrews chapter 10, the holiest and the veil and so on. You have to picture in your mind what it was like to worship with a tabernacle that Moses had constructed, and then later the temple that Solomon built and spent 7 years in building that. You have to remember there's a certain way that they had to go through their steps of worship. First of all, they came into the outer court, which contained an altar and a laver or a basin, a huge basin. And the altar was where they offered sacrifice, where a lamb was slain or a bull or a goat or a dove or whatever the sacrifice was, blood was shed. That's why Jesus on the cross is so important, because he was fulfilling once and for all. That sacrifice, praise God. He offered the ultimate and supreme sacrifice that you and I are able to hold to. That's why this verse says, by the blood of Jesus. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Because all of those sacrifices that were offered on that altar culminated in Jesus Christ. The next item of furniture was that laver or that basin, and the priest had to wash. The command was, you must wash or you're going to die. Pretty good incentive. Okay, I'll wash. I'll definitely make sure I participate in that step. I'll make sure there's a change, there's a death, there's a sacrifice, and then I'll wash, and then I'll step into the holy place. Now imagine in your mind's eye that our vestibule out here is that outer court. And that's where the altar is. That's where the laver is. And you've gone through those two steps. Now, you've come through the little archway there. You've parted the curtain, and you stepped into the holy place. The only light would be a golden candlestick. That's the only illumination. There's no windows. There's no doorways. The flap of the tent has closed behind you, and the only thing that provides light is that golden candlestick. That's why Jesus said, I am the light. I am the light. Oh, I'm thankful that the Lord can be so many things to us, that he can open so many doors, that he can provide so many vistas, helping us to recognize he can be everything that we need. Amen. Also, in that outer of that holy place was a table of bread, because he is the bread of life. And there was an altar of incense, and the incense was burning. The fragrance was ascending up, which was a type of your prayers, a type of your prayers going up into the heavenly realm, and the Lord being pleased with that fragrance, the Lord being pleased with that offering that you were making, that he would be willing then to provide an answer. And then imagine all of that being in the holy place, and then a curtain that stretched across here in the front. And the end of that tent would be what is called the holiest of holies. You would have those three items of furniture in the holy place, and then there would be a curtain here, and only the high priest can step beyond that veil into the place that contained the ark. And the ark was a box, a big box, and it had statues of cherubims or angelic beings that were on each end of that box, looking down at what was called the mercy seat. Mm-hmm. Now, see, they did this for thousands of years. That's how they worshiped. Yes. But when Jesus was crucified on the cross, the veil or his flesh came to an end. Praise God. That veil was torn to show in a supernatural way. It's not going to be that old way anymore. It's not going to be that old-fashioned way anymore. There's a new and living way that we have the opportunity to enter into the very presence of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have the opportunity to know he is the way. He is the life. He is the truth. And we're able to bless and receive blessing because of his goodness. Amen. So the new and living way, it was in place. But the devil doesn't give up on his job. The devil doesn't stop and say, oh, I don't have an answer for that new and living way. I could discourage them when they had to go through all of those steps. I could make up excuses as to why they didn't have to journey all the way to Jerusalem and the temple. And they didn't have to make those sacrifices. I could come up with reasons for how they don't have to do that. But this new and living way, I might as well give up. Oh, the devil doesn't reason like that. He comes up with ways to discourage. He comes up with ways to disguise and to bring confusion, to help people miss the new and living way. In fact, the Bible lets us know in Isaiah 53, talking about the crucifixion of the Lord, that whole chapter dealing with how the Lord paid the price as a sacrifice and how he was able to bring us into the presence of the Lord, taking away our sin, bearing our sin, and so on. But that scripture goes on to say, I believe in verse 6, we have turned everyone to our own way. Not going to go the way of the Lord. No, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm independent, and I'm going to make my choices. And so we fulfill the scripture. Everyone has turned to his own way, but yet the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was paying the price for us all. He was making the way for us all. But we would turn to our own way. And the scripture goes on and talks about how there were those who misled the people of Israel and describes it as a pernicious way, choosing their own way, wanting to go another direction. But oh, thank God, the Lord stands at the crossroads of life, as it were, and lets us know, come to me, I'm the way. Come to me, I will give you rest. Come to me, and you will find peace. Come to me, and I will give you blessing. Come to me, and I will show you a new and living way. Praise God. And of course, as I said, the devil is the author of confusion. The Lord, by contrast, is the author of eternal salvation. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. But the devil loves to bring confusion. He loves to write it out chapter by chapter and cause people to stumble and be confused and to go away from the things of God that he is offering freely. Amen. And to disguise how the altar and the laver and moving into that holy place and then finally into the holiest is not going to be a spiritual experience, that you just continue to do the things that are tangible and the things that are what you can grab a hold of, and it's too much work, it's too much bother, it's too much trouble. But oh, I'm thankful that when we look at the items that are in the temple or in the tabernacle, when we recognize the altar of sacrifice, the brazen laver, the golden candlestick, the altar of incense, and the table of showbread, and then finally the Ark of the Covenant, all of that is laid out in a particular way in the shape of a cross. Because the Lord was looking ahead to the way that was going to be made, to what was going to happen, to what was going to be fulfilled, a new and living way because of the cross. Thank God that he made the way. Thank God that he provided the means. Thank God that he blessed and ministered in such a powerful way for us to experience a new and living way. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about ways. In fact, Proverbs 14 makes mention of the fact that there is a way that seems right to a man. It seems right. He steps back and he looks at this way, the way that he has fabricated, the way that he's designed, the way that he's put together, and it seems right. It seems like it would be the right way to go. It seems like it would be the way that would bring blessing and profit and goodness and peace and so on. It seems like the right way. But what we've got to be aware of is the end. Because we look at the end of the book, and we recognize God's plan is what's going to be fulfilled. God's way is what's going to come to pass. The Lord and His truth is what is going to stand. So I got to follow that end of His word. But confusion, misdirection, misguidance is what the devil is good at. And so a way that seems right, a way that appears good, a way that would make it look as though, oh, this is going to be good. This is going to turn out. This is going to be all right. But the end thereof is death. So I can't afford to go what my mind concocts. I can't afford to come up with something that some religion decides is right. I've got to determine what the Lord is determining. Amen. And follow what His word declares and be able to stay in that realm because there's a new and living way. Praise God. And it's so simple. The sacrifice that is made is the sacrifice of my will, the sacrifice of my ideas and my preferences and my direction and my self-will and so on. And I say, God, forgive me. Lord, change me. Lord, make a difference in my life. Praise God. And it is so powerful of what the Lord is able to do. It's like being dead and then being born again. And that's exactly how He says it. Praise God. Not as an option, not as a possible solution. No, He says you must be. And thank God He makes that new and living way available. So I come to the altar. I come to the water. Praise God. And I'm baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. The powerful name of Jesus. I'm baptized in the name of the one who died for me. The one who hung on the cross for me. The one who rose again from the grave for me. The one who opened a new and living way. Hallelujah. And I know how powerful it is. I know how blessed it is. Praise God. And I come in and I find all the provisions that God has for me. That golden candlestick, the light that He is, the table of showbread, because He's the bread of life, and the altar of incense, my prayers going up to Him are not just an act of futility, but it is a demonstration of the Lord showing His power and His demonstration that it is a new and living way. And then that veil that closed off the access to the very presence of God. And only the high priest being able to step beyond that veil and offer the sacrifice of blood upon that mercy seat. Oh, thank God. Thank God. That mercy seat of the Lord. Amen. They went through the motions in the old way. They went through all of those steps in the old way. But a new and living way is we have opportunity to come into the very presence of God ourselves. And experience the mercy that He extends to us with His forgiveness. The mercy that He gives to us in our failings and in our faults. Our weakness and our infirmities. And He lifts us up and He strengthens us. That's why it's a new and living way. Praise God. Now, I was 15 years old when I was introduced to the new and living way. But I still remember clear as day what my feelings were as I looked at what was before me and what was behind me. And I knew I didn't want to continue in what I'd experienced. I knew I didn't want to continue in the things that I'd already been involved in. I knew I didn't want to continue in the emptiness and the questions and the wondering of what should I do? What direction should I go? How should I live? And a new and living way was open before me. I didn't have all the answers. I couldn't see. I didn't even know the questions, much less the answers. But the Lord was leading me. Amen. And that new and living way began to open up, began to become clearer and clearer as I got into the Word of God, as I remained faithful to the house of the Lord, as I was obedient to the preaching of the Word of God. Praise God. More and more it became available, and I began to see more and more of how the Lord would be the way. Praise God. And so my faith, weak as it was and small as it was in the heart of a 15-year-old, God began to lift me up and strengthen me and bring me into the place where I can experience the blessings of God in such a powerful way. Amen. And the answers that he would give me, the provisions that he would make, the blessings that he would provide. Thank God that the hand of the Lord was there to provide a way. Amen. And then to see that change come into my family's life as well. Because they've recognized, oh, something's different. Amen. And perhaps they waited for a while to see how long it was going to last. Oh, it may be just for a little while. Oh, I may go back to the way he was before. But God helped that struggling teenager. God helped and ministered in a special way. God brought a special woman into his life. God provided in such a precious way in the power of the Lord with children being born and the hand of God being displayed as we continued on that way. Amen. Praise God. And then my mother got baptized in the name of Jesus. She started on that new and living way. Hallelujah. Praise God. And oh, that time in our living room of our little house, and my mom sat in one of our kitchen chairs as we had prayer meeting there. Amen. And the hand of God began to be displayed. The power of the Lord began to move. The presence of God was in that place. And she raised her little hands and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. She was passing through the veil. Hallelujah. The hand of God came upon her and ministered in such a tremendous way. Praise God. Amen. And then my sister, we thought it was pneumonia. We thought it was a bad case of the flu. We wondered why she wasn't getting well. We wondered why the doctors couldn't find something. Come on, something's got to work. Some antibiotic, something's got to happen. And come to find out she had two cancerous spots in her lungs. My brother-in-law said, you need to come. You need to come. My sister, of course, said, I'm okay. I'll be all right. My brother-in-law saying, you need to come. And we recognized how severe it was. We knew not a good prognosis. So my son Greg and I jumped in the car. And you know, the mercy of God, the mercy of God, how amazing that he does order our steps. He does provide. Because the only way we would have been in Oregon, the only way we'd have been able to make that drive down to Coos Bay from Portland was because we were in Oregon for my father-in-law's death. We were there with the family. I wouldn't have gone to Oregon because my sister was saying, I'm okay. It's going to be all right. And my brother-in-law saying, you need to come, you need to come. I don't think I'd have made the trip to Oregon, except because we were there for Dad's death. And so, in the car we go, down the way, 4-hour drive. Arrive at their home and go into the house and begin to talk about the things of God. The blessings of the Lord. Brother Greg shared some incredible things that he experienced on a mission trip to Mexico. Cancers coming off of people's faces. A man's withered hand being straightened out and his fingers becoming flexible and used again. It happened right in front of his eyes. In fact, it was his hands that straightened out the man's arm and uncurled the fingers and saw them flex. Greg was telling these things. And faith was building in Georgina's heart and Bob's heart. Praise God. And we said, we're going to pray. We're going to believe God to do a work for you. Amen. She'd not been down that way before. it was different. I told her, we make a lot of noise when we pray. Not because God's deaf. Amen. He's not nervous. He loves to hear that prayer. He loves that incense to rise. Amen. That's the new and living way. Praise God. And so we began to pray. and God touched in a powerful way. Amen. And my son Greg said, I heard her. I heard her speaking in a language that was heavenly, a language that she didn't know. Amen. Oh, the mercy of the Lord. Because the next week she was gone. Cancer took her. But oh, thank God, she experienced a new and living way in the power of God. And the blessing of the Lord was there. She'd been baptized. Yeah, she'd been baptized, amen, in Kodiak years and years and years before that. But the devil was successful in turning her away from the way she knew. She went through a lot of difficult things, a lot of hardship, divorce, and all kinds of heartache. But oh, thank God, just a week before she passed, God brought her back to a new and living way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, that's the way. Now, as Sister Nichols taught in the lesson, we're not Hebrew, we're not Jewish, we haven't gone through the tabernacle, we didn't worship the temple way. That wasn't our heritage, that wasn't our upbringing. But there is an old way that we can step away from. There is an old way that we can forsake. An old way that we can turn our back on and say, Lord, I want that new and living way. Oh, God, I want that new and living way. Amen. An old way of heartache. An old way of trying things that don't satisfy. An old way of hurting and being hurt. An old way that just is confusion and problems and difficulty. That's not to say that when I go a new and living way that everything's smooth, everything's clear, everything's good. No, we hurt. There are tears. There's pain. There's disappointments. But because I can call on Him, because I can be in His presence, because I can feel His touch, a new and living way is what I can prefer and what I can walk in. Praise God. So stand with me now, please. Here's the beautiful thing about it. Here's the powerful thing that can happen today. The Lord can start you on that new and living way. The Lord can bring you into that new and living way. But here's what's happening. Here's what's taking place right now. The devil shows up. You know, the devil is faithful to church. The devil is probably more faithful to church than anybody. Because he wants to show up. And he wants to say, you don't have to do that. You don't have to listen. That's just a preacher talking. You don't have to follow what he says. And the devil used to lie to me. And I was that young man seeking the Lord. The devil would tell me, oh, you're going to receive something. Oh, you're going to receive the Spirit. Oh, you're going to have a blessing, but it's going to be next service. It's going to be next week. He wouldn't deny that I was going to receive something. He would just fool me into thinking it's next time. Next week. And finally, I had to just shut the devil off. Amen. And believe that God is going to bless me right now, right here, in this place, on this time, in this service. And that's what I want you to do. Jesus, te alabamos con mes de quien.